I'm Sunny St. Leonard's on the south coast of the UK. This is the Keto Woman Podcast, brought to you by me, Daisy Brackenhall. Hello, keto lovelies, and welcome to episode number 216, where I'm joined once again by my foodie favourites, Dan and Erica, for another Keto Foodie Favourites episode. And this week, we are talking about chocolate. I know they do exist. There are a few people out there that don't like chocolate, but for the most part, I think it's one of those ingredients, isn't it, that is almost universally adored. I certainly like it, and I expect you do too. But before we tuck into some chocolate deliciousness, here's a quick roundup of my week. If you listened to last week's intro, you'll know that I had a few exciting days out to look forward to. And so here I am on the other side of those to tell you all about them. Well, first off, I was trying to describe to you, for those of you who don't know what a panto is, what a panto is. Well, the first thing on my agenda was going to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And if you're not familiar with panto, but you are familiar with the Rocky Horror Picture Show, well, it's kind of a very grown-up panto, a filthy, rude panto. I can't quite believe that I got through the first 50 years of my life without having seen it. For some reason, I'd got it mixed up in my head with the Little Shop of Horrors, which I'm not a huge fan of. And so I wasn't particularly looking forward to going. I mean, I was looking forward to the evening out and I knew it would be fun. But I went in with, you know, when you go to see something and you either have lowish expectations or you don't know what to expect, and then you are blown away. Well, that was me. I was blown away and I really, really enjoyed it. Both my mum and I were up on our feet with the rest of the audience doing the time walk and whooping and cheering and clapping and laughing and singing and all the things. The only thing we hadn't done was dress up, but plenty of people in the audience had, and I can certainly see the attraction. We went to see it in Brighton, which is, if you know Brighton, you'll know what I mean when I say it was the perfect place to go and see it. And I got the impression that for many people, it was their annual Christmas treat. And I can quite understand how that would be the case. As soon as I've been kind of looking forward to going again. So that was the first outing, and what a great outing it was. I got the train across, which is so convenient from where I live. It's just a few minutes down the road. Took me right into the middle of Brighton, so super convenient because Brighton is one of those places that it's nigh on impossible to park. And even if you can park, it's hideously expensive. So getting the train is the much, much better option. We also went out for a delicious meal beforehand in a tapas restaurant that was right next door to the theatre. So all in all, it was a fantastic evening. Next up was the panto, and that was on Sunday, and I went up to London. We had front row seats. I'm not sure I've ever sat in the front row of anything, and so we really were right in the thick of it. Now, one of the things with panto is audience participation. The kids love it. They get to run riot and scream and shout and join in as much as they want to. In fact, my brother leaned over to my niece and said, you know, you can shout out and join in as much as you like. And I was sat between my niece, Rudy, and one of my nephews, her brother, Gene. And let's just say that they took audience participation to a whole new level. And so you couldn't help but be swept along with their unbounded enthusiasm. And the actors on the stage were loving it and spoke directly to them or about them quite a few times and gave them a nod at the end when it came to the rounds of applause. So it really was fantastic. Like I say, their enthusiasm and enjoyment was infectious. So I ended up having a very, very good time at the Panto too. Last but not least was my birthday. And as I'm recording this on the Thursday, it was yesterday. I did think that maybe I wouldn't be able to get my morning dip in as Storm Barra was blasting through this week. But fortunately for me, it actually peaked the afternoon before. So although the waves were a bit choppy, it was quite rough. It was low tide, so it was perfectly doable and didn't really have a swim, but I had a good old splash around. And there was a fellow St. Leonard's Blue Tit down there who I had a lovely chat with afterwards. So that was the perfect start to the day. Then the usual taking the dogs out for a walk. And then I went out for lunch with some dog walking friends to a local restaurant called The Farmyard, which I've told you about before. And they really do have very, very delicious food. They have a during the week lunchtime special where you can choose three out of the six small plates that are up on the chalkboard with a glass of wine. And that's what we had. I had a Thai beef salad, truffled brie with a cranberry sauce, and celeriac topped with goat cheese. And a very delicious red wine, I seem to remember. No, it wasn't the Pinot Noir. There were two to choose from. And the waiter very kindly bought them both for me to try. And I did go for the Pinot Noir. It was either the Pinot Noir or the Gamay, I think. And I went for the Pinot Noir. Very delicious. Having lived in France for 17 years, I really did catch the French wine bug. And my favourites when it comes to both red and white, actually, are nice and dry and light. And it's that time of year where I tend to transition from super chilled whites into the reds. I say that like I drink a lot of wine, and I really don't these days, to be honest. In fact, just that one glass rather went to my head. But I had a very, very nice lunch with fantastic company. We all had a good time. And so I ended up having a very lovely birthday. And thank you to everyone who contributed to the Facebook fundraising birthday thingamajig. It's not something I've done before, but I thought this year I would give it a go. And the RNLI, I've mentioned them before, they've been taking a bit of flack for going out to do what they do. And the flack they've been getting is for going out to help with the rescues of asylum seekers. And I'm not going to get into all the politics of that. And if you know me, you'll know exactly how I feel about that subject. But it felt like a little something that I could do to help support them. So I did a Facebook birthday fundraiser. And I think at this point, it's nudged over the £150 target, which is fantastic. So thank you so much to everybody who contributed to that. I figured I would walk down to Hastings and go in and make my donation in person. So that's what I will be doing over the next week or so. I keep meaning to have a wander down, do a little bit of Christmas present shopping. So that will be the perfect time to drop in and see them. So thank you once again. And thank you also for all your birthday wishes. Very much appreciated. And it really, really does add to my enjoyment of the day. So thank you. Everything else is just ticking along pretty much the same. The dogs and the cats are well. The weather is definitely getting more wintry, but I have to say has been pretty nice. Not too rainy, so fingers crossed it's going to stay with the chilly but blue sky days all the way through the winter. Wouldn't that be perfect? I am feeling better. I think I mentioned that I was feeling a bit under the weather, wasn't exactly sure what was wrong, and I'm still not, to be honest. I think I either had a cold that was just one of those colds that doesn't really fully come out like you think of as a cold. So I didn't have the really stuffed up nose and super sore throat, but I had all the sort of other things that come along with it, felt very, very fatigued and a bit sick and did have a sore throat and just really, really felt under the weather. The only other thing I can think maybe is that my immune system is working really well and just did a very good job of fighting it. Certainly the lymph nodes in my neck were really swollen for quite a while. And I was just at that point of really thinking that I was imagining it, or you know, maybe I was eating too much dairy or something like that, but I really hadn't been. And it was only when I started feeling better, it was like, oh, okay, yes, you weren't very well. But who knows? Whatever it was, it seems to be in the rear view now. So that's all that matters. So enough of my news and my roundup. I'm sure you can't wait to hear about all things chocolate from Dan and Erica. So let's get to it. And I'll see you back here afterwards. Welcome back, Dan and Erica, to another Keto Foodie Favorites episode. How are you both doing today?
We are doing really well. Thanks for having us again, Daisy.
Yeah, thank you. It's going to be a good one today.
I think you'll like this one.
This could be Dan's area of expertise, I think.
Oh, I'm very excited. I always like to come into this as a surprise, so I don't know what your foodie favorite is going to be. So what is your keto foodie favorite this week?
This week we have gone with chocolate.
Ooh.
One of my favorite things in the whole wide world. And guess what? You don't have to give up chocolate on keto.
No.
You just have to change the type of chocolate that you eat.
Yes. Mm. Very good point. Are you a chocolate lover, Daisy?
I am. I'm kind of a seasonal chocolate lover. Ooh. I tend to, it's as the weather gets colder for me that I get into chocolate. I like it less in the summer. In the summer, I prefer lighter things. I get more into ice cream and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like I drink far less wine these days. Not that I drank much before in France, but I used to have a friend over to dinner quite a lot who was really into his wines. And I would be seasonal with wines too. So I was very much a really chilled white in the summer and then move. I just had this a natural change. I would start to change into the lighter reds and then other reds in the winter. And I'm a bit like that with chocolate. So it's more of a seasonal thing. But of course, yes, very much into the chocolate season at the moment. So
yes, you are.
Chocolate has definitely been on my menu recently.
So when you're thinking about chocolate and low carb or keto options, you want to choose a dark chocolate. Really, that's probably the easiest thing to switch from. So if you eat milk chocolate, you want to kind of try and ease your way up in darkness. Don't go from eating like full milk chocolate, non-keto, and then the 100%, you'll like, you won't be able to do it.
You just think it's
but
disgusting.
You can start even at 70% and then switch out to 80 or 85%. We kind of hover between 85 and 90% if we're just eating the chocolate straight up. We have never been able to go for the 100%.
No.
Again, a bit like the cauliflower smoothie, we're not hardcore keto enough to eat 100% dark chocolate, but we can go the 90% without too much of a problem.
And we have that pretty readily available in the supermarkets here. Lindt have, I think, 85, 90, 95 and 100%. And then we have Green and Blacks. That has, I think, 85%. So it's pretty easy to get a few dark chocolate, like, you know, extra dark chocolate.
There's a lot more, isn't there? There never used to be. In the UK, you could get like Bourneville, which was, it was like 55% or something.
Yeah.
But there seems to be a lot now. And I tell you what I've noticed when it comes to percent, and actually Lindt is my least favorite. I think it tastes a bit cardboardy, but I find it, and again compare it to wine, but I think there's such a difference with chocolates. You get something quite generic like Lindt, which tastes like you're quite cheap wine, and then you get one of the smaller companies like Fair Trade or something like that. And you start getting all these delicious notes that you get in a, you know, a really delicious wine. There's, and I find that with chocolates like that, you can often go another 5% up and you'll enjoy it. Whereas with a different brand, you'll be like, oh, I don't like the taste of this. It's too bitter, whatever. So I'd always say experiment a little bit with different brands, especially with these smaller fair trade ones.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I find anything less than 85 now to me tastes really, really sweet.
And you don't get the same kind of notes that you can notice, like you can even find them like from the smaller companies that they tell you like the origin of where like the chocolate beans have come from
and the type of fruity note it might have,
or like the fruity, and
even when there's nothing added to it you can notice the difference in the flavor from like a Cambodian one to somewhere
Peru,
else
for sure.
So it is almost like wine, isn't it?
And it tastes like chocolate. I actually had a bit of milk chocolate the other day, tiny, small amount. And it was like, this tastes like vaguely chocolatey sugar. That's all it tasted like. It doesn't, yes, it's sort of chocolate, but it's when you're used to eating a proper dark chocolate, that's what chocolate tastes like.
Yeah, and it's such a strong flavor that you wouldn't eat a block of it like you might have done with Cadbury's dairy milk or something, because it is so, you know, strong and flavoursome kind of.
One of the other options, I don't know what you have in the UK, Daisy, but we do have some keto-friendly sweetened ones as well that use monk fruit or stevia or erythritol. Here in Australia, we have 3 to 4 brands readily available in our supermarkets now.
Oh, really?
They are
we don't really have
Well
that.
Naturally, Vitalworks, Natvia, and No Shoe. Well Naturally, we've had for a fair while, almost our whole keto journey, which is 5 years now. But the others are all pretty new. So if you are still wanting a milk type chocolate, there are some options. What are the US ones?
Well, Choc Zero and Lily's are two of them.
Lily's is the huge one, isn't it?
That one's massive. And they are, like, if you know, some people just don't enjoy dark chocolate. So those are good alternatives, and I guess they would suit, you know, perhaps kids, or if you're making something that you're feeding to a group of people, they might not appreciate the, you know, the bitterness
of dark chocolate.
So
we can get them here as a, but it's kind of a specialist mail order thing. I haven't.
You don't have anything in the supermarket at all?
Not that I found.
Right.
I found the odd one. There was a bar a while back that did have a sweetener in it, but I think it still had a bit of sugar, and it wasn't great. But there are things you can get mail order. And Dan Grief, who has a company called Deliciously Guilt-Free, makes lovely cakes. He started making chocolate. I think he can make white chocolate, and he's just done a run. I think it was a one-off, so I wasn't able to get any, but he does the whole process. He's got the machinery to do beans to chocolate, and I know he's made some milk chocolate. So I'm sure it will become more and more readily available. But yes, for the time being, there's a very good selection of 85% or potentially even more in most supermarkets. But to actually get sugar-free is a bit more tricky.
Right. Okay. So I guess in baking and cooking also you can use, you know, cacao powder or cocoa powder, which have, you know, carbs from the cocoa bean, but they don't actually have sugar added. Like even the 85 and 90% chocolate does still have some sugar added to it.
Yes, exactly. Otherwise. Yeah, that's what the other 15% is or whatever, isn't it?
And I mean, I was interested today. I was reading a bit between the difference between cacao powder and cocoa powder.
Yes, I've always wondered what that is.
So it seems that they're just processed a little bit differently. So the cacao powder retains a bit more of the nutrients.
And that's why it's kind of more popular.
It's called raw is because it's not kind of heated up during the processing, whereas cocoa powder is heated up. And the cacao powder can be a bit more bitter and intense flavoured than cocoa powder. But, yeah, you can use that obviously in any sort of baking or cooking. And then I've also seen people using chocolate flavoured like protein or collagen powder and those type of things in baking and cooking.
What about cacao nibs? Have you ever used those?
Yeah, so that's just like ground up. Dried,
yeah, nice little nuggets of cardboard.
You would look them and
think, oh, they would be nice. Yeah, they're not.
Oh, it looks like a chocolate, like a little chocolate chip of sorts. It's not. It's just like a bitter little seed. Yeah. I do not find it pleasant.
A bitter seed of disappointment.
But some people can love work. Them. Some people love them.
I tell you where I have found that it works. I've occasionally seen it in something like a bar where really all it adds a bit of texture and a faint whiff of cocoa about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's one of those things if you try the actual nib straight and ooh, no.
Yes, that can be disappointing. And I see people use it. Oh, instead of, you know, you're making a chocolate chip cookie, instead of chocolate chips, even cake. I'm just like, people, I'm just not going to enjoy those cookies. Like, you're not fooling anybody there. It's got cauliflower milkshake written all over it. Yeah.
It's like when my mother tried to convince me that carob was like chocolate as a kid, went through like a health food phase, and there were, you could get carob coatings.
I'm pretty sure Eric has had carob in her childhood.
Many a carob Easter egg. I remember my favorite thing, which is, this is the sad reflection of my childhood, was mum would give me carob coated rice cakes. That was my treat and I loved them.
It's like, I don't know how any parent can try and convince a child that it's a chocolate replacement. Just don't go there. You know, this is carob. It's something in its own right. Enjoy it for what it is, or more likely, don't enjoy it for what it is. But don't try and tell me it's chocolate. It looks like chocolate.
But apart, that's where the resemblance ends. Oh, hilarious.
So there's literally multitude ways that you can eat chocolate. You could just eat a square and be done with it, or you could literally Google low carb chocolate anything and you will definitely find a recipe for it, because there is just so many different ways that you can have low carb keto chocolate anything.
Yes, but some of the popular ways to have it brownies, very popular, like a low-carb brownies, very easy to make with almond flour, and you can use like melted chocolate or you could use cacao or cocoa powder and come up with a really good brownie or a flourless chocolate cake. Those kind of fall into the same category.
We have a really good...
They turn out really well.
This is the thing I have with brownies because...
Oh, she's got a problem with brownies.
Yes. Well, no, I don't have a problem with brownies. It's a categorization thing. Now, to me, a brownie is a very, very specific thing. You know, my mum's great at making brownies. Oh, we've made the Delia Smith brownies recipe. Mm-hmm. I think they're called American brownies. But to me, it's a very, very specific thing that relies really on the main ingredient of sugar to a certain extent to get that gooey, chewy bit in the middle, and then the bits on the outside are a bit
crusty,
more crusty, but they're still chewy, aren't they?
Dan and is nodding in aggressive agreement.
If I ordered, I should say, a brownie, and what comes out is not a brownie.
It's
I'm
a
disappointed. And that is so often the case. It's a chocolate cake.
Yeah,
now, it might be a dense, moist, delicious chocolate cake, but it is not a brownie. And I think there is a difficulty when it comes to ketofying brownies to actually make a brownie. Have you managed to? I keep meaning to experiment with allulose because I think that will be the closest you can get to getting that chewy, gooey brownie. But every keto brownie I've had, to me, has not been a brownie. It's been, you know, a lovely, delicious chocolate cake, but it hasn't been a brownie.
Yes,
not that I'm pedantic about it.
Not at all. There definitely is a distinction, and it is disappointing if you get, you know, a fluffy, light piece of chocolate cake, particularly if it's like a brownie mix. You know, the brownie, like a packet mix that you would get, it's generally like the low-carb ones were kind of like, is this a brownie or is it just a nice chocolate cake? Like, I see what you mean. But I think
we have a brownie recipe.
Fudge cake.
It would not meet your...
Oh, I think it's delicious, but you don't think it would meet Daisy's level?
Well, maybe she could make it and let us know how disappointed she is.
Like I say, if you present it to me as a delicious chocolate fudge cake, I would probably be very happy, but would it meet my brownie standards?
We have a delicious flourless chocolate cake, which I think trumps the brownie in my opinion.
There you go. Well, that's laying down the gauntlet, isn't it? I shall try it. And let you know.
It doesn't have any flour. It doesn't even have almond flour or anything in it. It's just like chocolate and butter and eggs. It's good.
It is good. Yeah.
But you can also make really delicious chocolate ice cream, cheesecake, custard, all of those things are very easy to make low-carb versions of just by substituting the type of chocolate you use and the sweetener.
Yes, and some of those are great examples of perfect ketofication that you would struggle to tell the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
You can also make like a hot chocolate or a mocha with it. We have a couple of good kind of hot chocolate mixes that you can get online here in Australia. I like the Polenta Fresh one, which is really delicious. We order it online. You can't really tell the difference.
Yeah, you can make them up with like boiling water and a bit of cream and it's a delicious hot chocolate.
Which is the white chocolate that you've given me some before? Is that
that's Vitaworks.
That's pretty Vitaworks. Good, isn't
that
it?
That is now available in our supermarkets.
Nice.
That has, because we used to only be able to get that online and recently, like within the last month, it's now readily available in one of our big supermarket chains here in Australia. Right. We only have two. So
I will say with buying the kind of super or extra dark chocolate options, generally here we can't get them with any sort of flavouring or nuts or anything in them. They just come plain straight up as is. But you can quite easily buy the chocolate from the supermarket and then, you know, tweak it yourself to make it seem a little bit more fun than just plain chocolate. We like to make like chocolate bark where you just kind of melt the chocolate and spread it out on a tray and then sprinkle bits of things on it. You can do like coconut, nuts. We've even used like freeze-dried raspberries, kind of crush them up.
Delicious.
And that can be like very nice if you're having a dinner party or friends over. It kind of seems a bit more, you know, festive than
then
just
cracking
having...
out the Lindt 85, yeah. Break up the squares and put it in the middle of the table.
I have done that.
But you can also like melt the chocolate and then just stir through nuts and coconut and then put it into little piles on a tray to get like a cluster sort of thing, or use it to make like little cups with like a nut butter filling. So just put like some chocolate, melted chocolate on the bottom, some like nut almond butter or peanut butter, and then a bit more chocolate. That, and then once it sets, it's delicious.
Oh, the next one on the list is smoothies. Yeah. Oh, smoothies are delicious.
Don't put cauliflower.
Just don't put cauliflower in them. I hope the cauliflower one comes out first.
Chocolate cauliflower smoothie.
You can use it in anything, like in chia puddings are really popular, and you can put some cocoa powder or cacao powder in there, or we even have like a granola recipe that uses like cocoa in it. So it's kind of like a chocolatey nut and seed granola. I mean, you can have chocolate anything, and there are honestly so many recipes online. Yeah, as Dan said, if you type low carb chocolate and whatever you want to make, something will appear.
Definitely.
You can use it in savory applications as well. Like, it's popular to use it as part of like a rub. If you're barbecuing meat, you can use cocoa powder in that, or in like a chili or a stew kind of, you can use chocolate in there just to give like an extra dimension to the flavor.
It's not something I've played around with much, but you see it cropping up a lot with certain kind of meats, like a venison, for example. I think it goes well with, but
yeah, it's not something we've done much.
No. But I can see how it would work.
Yeah, definitely.
I can see it how if you had a delicate touch, it could add a nice. You probably wouldn't necessarily be able to pick it out. Like you sometimes
it
can
adds
use
a depth of
like
flavor
that.
Or something, doesn't it? Like, it's not necessarily like you can taste chocolate in a chili, but it just adds that depthness or something.
And quite often in sweet chocolate recipes, there'll be a small amount of coffee included.
Yeah,
it's a similar,
so it's the same thing.
It's not like you can taste it, and Dan doesn't like coffee, but she wouldn't know it was even in there. It's just adding to the depth of flavor. Yeah,
that's right.
Did we miss anything before we move on to our top tips, Daisy?
Add? This is endless when I was trying to write. Chocolate cake, chocolate cupcakes, chocolate cookies.
Exactly. No, I can't think of any sort of other specific thing other than you just get into specific recipes, don't you? But yeah, it's very versatile in that you can just eat it straight out the packet or as an ingredient. Either, I guess, there's a whole spectrum between it being the main ingredient, the star of the recipe, to just being, right down there as a supporting act that you don't necessarily pick it out in a recipe. Mm-hmm. So it is actually pretty versatile. And then, as you said, in the different forms it comes in as well. And it's delicious.
Okay. We're up to our top five. We've already mentioned a couple of them, but I don't think we've even mentioned my favorite. Should we go with my favorite?
Yeah, let's start with your favorite.
Chocolate mousse. I love chocolate mousse, and we have a really good chocolate mousse recipe. I love our chocolate mousse. It's so light and airy and, delicious. I want to have some right now.
And some other ones that we have on the list, we did mention our flourless chocolate cake, which is really delicious and quite a good one for, well, this time of year in Australia when we're perhaps entertaining a bit more coming into Christmas. But it looks really spectacular with like a big pile of whipped cream and then berries on the top. It's very good for like a festive occasion or a celebration.
Good showstopper.
Yeah, we also have a chocolate hazelnut brownie, which I think is delicious. Mm. It may not meet Daisy's, very, very extreme expectations. It's not a cake, though. It's not a cake.
Daisy somewhere now has to make it.
I'm going to have to make it, yeah. And I do like, it's another thing that I'm very particular about with brownies. I do like them with nuts in them. Ooh, I think it just takes the edge off. Yeah. Walnut is the other thing I quite like in a brownie.
Walnut's very popular. And we actually have some cookies that's probably one of my favourite thing, which is kind of peanut butter mixed with melted chocolate, I think an egg, a little bit of sweetener, and they come out. They're absolutely delicious. Mm. And I love peanut butter, so that's a perfect combination for me.
And number five is the chocolate bark that we've mentioned already. You can get super creative. It's delicious with the bark option because you spread it like super thin and it gets a real crack that you don't get in the plain, like 85%.
Right.
Like, if you buy 85% lean, like, it's not the best quality. We've already talked about that. But you don't get that snap.
Mm.
You really can make that lean 85% snap and have some kind of flavor to it as well. So you can kind of pimp up your plain old Lindt if you want to.
Yeah, and you can do like get really creative with like different salts or like a smoked salt and some chili flakes or something like that.
And it looks fancy, doesn't it? Chocolate bar does look fancy. And festive. So, good thing to do this time.
And you can even make it up. And if you were doing like a little keto gift thing for people, you could like do different ones and put them in like some cellophane. And it's
you, so Dan. Versatile. I know. Martha Stewart over here.
Perfect. Delicious.
So that's our favorite chocolate recipe.
And which ones? Which one is your favorite, Erica? What's your favorite thing to do with chocolate?
Ooh, out of those recipes? Probably the flourless chocolate cake. It's really
good. It is really good. We haven't made that for ages.
And it's pretty easy to make as well. So that's a win-win.
There are a few things that I can think of that I could potentially add to your list. Mm-hmm. Someone was talking about the other day, it was asking about what sweets they could make for Christmas, and this is one of these words that doesn't necessarily translate very well across the seas, but for sweets, certainly in the UK, and you're often more similar to us than you are in the States, we think of the sweets you have at Christmas, and that could be things you buy like a tin of Quality Street or something. But in my family, we've always made, I can remember growing up, I used to get very excited about Christmas when we would make the Christmas sweets. So we would make things like fudge and other things. But one of the things that I think works really well, and when you're keto, are truffles. So chocolate truffles. I can remember for a time, I used to sell some things on the local WI store. And I can remember one Christmas, I made some very boozy chocolate truffles, and none of them actually made it for sale because all the WI ladies who were manning the stall, or womaning the stall, I should say, bought them all before they went out for sale. But yeah, I think it's a very easy thing that you can make on keto is a truffle. And again, that's the kind of thing that you can, same with your bark, you can add so many different flavors and coatings. That's very delicious.
Yeah, and you're just making like a simple ganache. So it's
really easy. It's really easy and very tasty. But something that, you know, looks great at the end of a dinner or something like that.
Another really good festive one is like rumbles. Is rumbles a thing in the UK?
No.
I think it's an Australian thing. It's kind of like chocolate cake. We use brownie and some form of moisture. And then you kind of, what moisture do we use in ours?
Well, normally you would use condensed milk.
Okay.
In the traditional. So it could, normally it's made with like either cake or biscuits crushed up. Condensed milk
and rum
and coconut.
Oh, and it's a ball. It's about like coconut. Few centimeters round, and they're delicious.
Huh. Yeah. We have a low carb version using like you just make a condensed milk out of cream, basically.
Interesting.
I didn't realize that was an Australian thing, rumbles. And we also have White Christmas, which we also learned was an Australian thing.
What's that?
Which is almost like it's made with kofa.
No, I don't know what that is.
Okay. I don't even know what it is. It's like, I think it's like coconut oil almost, but super refined. It's like a vegetable shortening thing. And then like so it looks white. It looks like white chocolate with, and then it would have like glacé cherries and rice bubbles and that type of thing. But we have a yummy version using coconut butter and freeze-dried strawberries and pistachios, and it looks really festive.
Yes, that sounds very tasty. When you were talking about smoothies, and we've joked about cauliflower milkshakes, but something that I was making one summer that I quite liked, which was quite tasty, you know, they get popular frappuccinos, and I'm not sure if frappuccinos is a particular thing or whether
it's a Starbucks thing.
Yes, or whether it's just a kind of a milkshake. I don't know. But I sort of made my own version, which was basically you needed quite a high powered blender, one that will chew up ice, basically.
Ice.
And it was a combination of cream and some cocoa powder, I think it might have had a touch of sweetener maybe, and then ice, mm-hmm. and sort of half the amount of it as ice, so actually quite a lot of ice, but then you blitz it and then you end up with this quite nice, ooh. Light, yeah. sort of milkshake. Because the thing is, when you're making it with something like cream, it can be a bit heavy, can't yeah. it? But it's heavy. A good way of yeah. sort of freshening it up, and it just sort of tasting mm. like a really nice chocolate milkshake.
Yeah, that
really
would be yummy.
Yeah. There was also a tart that I used to make. Mm-hmm. This was actually pre-keto, but I think it would be very easy to keto-fy, because all it was basically was chocolate. You just melted all these things down, chocolate, butter and cream. And that was basically it. I think it maybe did it have, I might have added some sugar before keto, mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But I think actually you would just make it with those three things, because the butter mm-hmm. and the cream would mm-hmm. probably add, especially if you were using something like 85%, which has got some sugar mm-hmm. in it yeah. anyway. And I can't remember the exact proportions. Obviously, there's something about the proportions, but you melt it all down and then just let it set. Mm. And I think it might have been on something like a biscuit base.
Right.
And so you just ended up with this really silky, smooth, dense chocolate yeah, tort. That would be quite easy to keto-fy, I think. Or just like, sort yeah, of like definitely. Little chocolate pots, not even with a base. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So many things to do with chocolate.
How good is chocolate?
It's delicious. So good.
And you've mentioned your top five recipes, and we will, of course, put mm-hmm. links to those. But probably, well, you've already mentioned a couple of other ones. There will be some other chocolate recipes on your website, I'm sure.
There's lots. Even just talking about it, I was like, oh, we have a chocolate smoothie recipe on our website. we have a lot of different chocolate ones on our website.
Yes, and our website is havebuttablewilltravel.com, and you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. So we would love for you to come and join us.
Perfect. And we will, of course, put the links to the recipes that you've mentioned in the show notes, and they'll pop up in social media as well. But yes, great timing. As you said, it's a festive favorite.
Definitely.
So some good ideas for people to make when they're wanting to impress their friends and family, or maybe just take along something for themselves.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
that's the trouble often, isn't it? Yes. When you're going to these family and friend get togethers.
Yeah.
And you know you're going to be tempted with some of the desserts, especially that are on offer. If you can take something along mm-hmm. that you can have predominantly, but to be able to share with other people as well, then you don't feel so left out.
Yeah, because we usually find it here at this time of year, if we're going to a family function or whatever, we can usually find something to eat. There's usually some sort of meat and salad or veg that we can eat, but it's always the dessert option where there isn't usually anything at all, maybe just a bit of cream that they were putting on the side of something else. So yeah. We would always take a dessert option with us. Usually we're the only two that have our dessert.
Not always.
But we take it home and we don't mind.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm not, you know, I'm prepared to share.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't have to. I tell you one more thing I will tell you about that has become one of my favorites, probably a little bit too much. I might have to stop because it's becoming too much of a habit. But it's one of those things where you don't actually tend to eat too much of it, but it's a nice thing to finish off a meal, and that's taking a square of the dark chocolate mm-hmm. and loading it with some crunchy peanut
ooh,
butter.
Yeah, you're speaking my language,
and that makes
now, Daisy.
A very tasty treat.
And it's a real treat, you know. It's also, you got to see how much nut butter you can get on that one square. That's part of the
a lot. Yeah, I think maybe I'm quite into the crunchy, especially in that form. Mm-hmm. But maybe the crunchy also helps you make more of a
it's not as runny, so you can just pile it like as high as possible.
Yep. See, we think very alike. Okay, so we are at that time of the show for a top tip, please.
Well, I have to say, you guys have kind of already stolen it.
Oh, sorry.
It's kind of, and I've probably said this in my top tips before, but it's like being prepared. So you were saying before, like if you're going to a barbecue or you're going to a family get together and you know that your mum is going to be making her, you know, your favorite like high carb version of something, just take what you would eat for dessert so that you're not tempted by that higher carb version of whatever that is. So let's say your mum makes the best apple pie in the world. It's very difficult to replicate that. But you could take something else that you know that you're going to love and enjoy and not feel like you're missing out. Mm. You're not sitting there like a spare. That's probably an Australian term, but just sitting there while everyone else, you can partake in it.
It can draw attention to you. People are like, oh, you, like, why are you having dessert? What's wrong? Do you not feel well or something? You know, like people love to, you know, call out on what you're eating or not eating, whether that's appropriate or not, that doesn't seem to matter. But yeah, if you've got something and you can sit there with a plate and feel part of the special occasion, I think it does make all the difference.
Yeah, and there literally is low carb versions of most things. So you could make something. Other people may or may not eat it. That's fine, but you can just make it look celebration. Yeah, I can't say that word, but like you can make it look
impressive.
And if no one eats it, take it home. That's fine, but it's going to set you up for success at that particular time.
And particularly something like a cheesecake. I mean, the low carb version to me just as good as a regular version. And if you decorated it nicely with some berries and a bit of grated chocolate or something, it looks super impressive.
There are some things, aren't there, that you really can't tell the difference.
And cheesecake is one of them.
About dairy. Cheesecake really is one of them. Yeah,
you can literally sub out the sugar for sweetener, and you can make a pretty good base with almond flour that doesn't taste that different to a regular base.
No, cheesecake's always a winner, I think.
Or do one of those Basque ones. Have you seen those? The
Keto Christina does a good Basque cheesecake. Yeah. We had one at her place. It was delicious.
Baked. They're burnt. They're like burnt. Ah. They don't have a crust or anything, and they're just like, they're kind of almost really dark brown.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, when we went to Keto Christina's for dinner, she made us one.
That sounds tasty. Yeah, I do like baked cheesecake, so I imagine it's along those lines. It sounds very good. Okay. Well, another fabulous keto foodie favorite. Thank you very much. It's been a great pleasure.
Thanks for having us again, Daisy.
Thank you. It's been fun.
I look forward to going and trying some of these. Tell you what I think about your brownies. Cauliflower brownies, why not?
I'm sure there's a recipe.
Thank you for staying with me right to the very end. And just another reminder, if you want to find any of the recipes we mentioned in the show, you can do so in the show notes. But also, and it might be easier, just head to havebutterwilltravel.com and probably just enter chocolate into the search box and all the chocolatey delicious recipes will come up for you to choose from. I haven't got around to it yet, but I am going to try their chocolate hazelnut brownies to see what I make of them, and I will let you know. By all accounts, they are very delicious, and whether or not they come up to my very specific brownie standards or not, we shall see. But I already know that they are going to be very delicious, because Dan and Erica's recipes always are. So what do I have for you for this week's end quote? Well, I thought I would go looking for a chocolatey end quote. And unsurprisingly, there are hundreds, but this one caught my eye and I rather liked it and thought it would be a good way, just like a chocolatey treat is, to end the show. So this week's end quote is from Terry Gime. Chocolate is ground from the beans of happiness, which is very much tastier than the seeds of disappointment that are cocoa nibs, as we talked about in this episode. I don't know if you've ever bitten into one. Have you ever bitten into one of those? I have, not with particularly high expectation, but certainly a higher expectation than what I ended up with. Chocolate, however, is a different story, isn't it? So wherever you are, I hope your week is filled with some delicious chocolate and certainly lots of happiness. So until I'm back with you again next week, please take very, very good care, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.